Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, why are people into that, listeners? Tina Horn here, reminding you to check out PleasureChest.com for all your sex toy shopping without leaving your bed needs. To help you get through this last stretch of winter, the PleasureChest.com is offering a free bullet vibrator with every purchase of $75 or more March 17th through March 24th. That's right, if you're listening to this, you can probably access the internet, and if you can access the internet, you can shop on PleasureChest.com. So stock up on lube, condoms, or gloves, get that bondage kit you've been eyeing, or gift a loved one something to keep them hot. When you do, you get a free teeny vibrator perfect for travel. You might also want to follow Pleasure Chest on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for another special vibrator promotion on March 8th, aka International Women's Day. The Pleasure Chest has been keeping you warm and satisfied for nearly 50 years. To find out more, visit their stores in New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago, or check out PleasureChest.com. And now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome to Why Are People Into That, a pervy conversation show about sex, kink, gender, and love. My guest today is Ashley Page.
Hello.
Whose pronouns she made sure to let me know are she, her, and daddy. And I just really want to know how to conjugate that, but we can talk about that in a second. So Ashley Page is a pro-dom, alpha female, and kinky travel companion based in New York City. She's been engaging professionally in pleasure and perversion for more than a decade and specializes in the art of catharsis created by her ethereal understanding of visceral connection through holistic kink and companionship. The femme daddy of your leather dreams and filthy fantasies. Find out more about her at mistresspagenyc.com. That's P-A-I-G-E. Or on Twitter at Ashley Page NYC and Instagram at Mistress Page _ NYC. And Ashley and I just talked for an hour for an entire interrobang episode about her history, her entire history of sex work. We got your whole memoir in 40 minutes. Really, you should get a fucking 6-figure book deal, but we'll talk about that later. Your history with sex work and racial profiling and sex work profiling in hotels and the connection between race and kink and why straight people's root chakras are so messed up. And we just talked about so many things on Ashley Page and Tarot Bang. So check that out in the feed if you haven't already. I think eventually I'm going to be releasing those for a second and then putting it behind a paywall because, you know, I gotta get that money.
Yeah.
Anywhere I can. So Ashley.
Yeah.
My first episode of 2019 was with Chingy. Do you know Chingy?
Oh, I love Chingy.
Oh my God, Chingy is so fucking amazing. When I was out in LA, I interviewed her and we did a Wire People Into Mommies episode. And nice. That was just a very natural pick for her. She's obsessed with mommy play and leather mommies. And it was a really fun conversation. And part of what we ended up talking about daddies a lot, partially because of her sort of being why is there a mommy shortage? and how we sort of understand mommies in relationship to daddies in the leather community, which is very telling. Cough, cough, misogyny, cough, cough, which we unpacked a little bit. And one of the things that we talked about was why so many, do you identify as cis female?
Yes.
So why so much? Yeah, for now. Yeah, totally. Who knows? Tomorrow, later, today, the night is young. It's noon.
Yes, very true. Very true.
So, you know, why there are a lot of queer cis women who, instead of identifying as mommies, identify as daddies or femme daddies. And I happen to know from your social media, also from the hat that you wore when you showed up today, that you identify as a daddy.
Very much so.
And that's something that is definitely a part of your sex work marketing, which is cool because that's very queer. It's a very queer thing to do. But it also, I think it's also a part of your personal lifestyle life. So the first question that I want to ask you is, what does daddy mean to you?
So to me, daddy means protector, safe space, but also the reprimander.
Ooh.
Also a certain level of nurturing and intimacy that isn't... there's a little bit more of a firm hand. It's not necessarily tough love, but a certain depth that mommies are in a different pool with. I feel like it's a certain level of depth for both of us.
Yeah.
Mommies and daddies, and it just goes in a different way. I feel like the nurturing that mommies give is a little bit different from daddies. And for me, I like a firm-handed daddy.
So you like a firm-handed daddy, but you also like to be a firm-handed daddy.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. I have not a submissive bone in my body.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I definitely like to switch around and sometimes play the role, especially like I will definitely, I bottom hard for bosses, like all femme bosses, but I bottom hard. Choke me, spank me, throw me against the wall so I know it's real. But also, you know I'm going to talk shit because daddy always gets his way. Like,
So you're a daddy. Mm-hmm. As a bottom, you're a daddy brat.
Yes. Yes. And a smart ass masochist.
Mm.
Very much so. But I have two bins of dicks and I use them regularly.
So daddy feels very connected to your dicks, your literal bag of dicks, your boxes, your bins of dicks.
No, this is my dick.
Oh, gosh.
Like, my hand, my fist, my forearm, this is the dick I have on me at all times.
Yo.
It's not attached to anything outside of me, but it's just, I feel like I am much more of a masculine presenting and a masculine resonating individual. And daddy feels more appropriate. I can definitely tap into my femininity when I want to, and it's always there, but I love the androgyny and the masculinity and the power I feel as a daddy. I don't want to, I don't want to kiss and hold you until I want to kiss and hold you. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Uh-huh. My mind just went blank, but luckily I have notes. So when did you, isn't it so funny? I'm just going to step outside myself and analyze myself because Chingy and I talked about this a lot and we've been having a lot of conversations online around that episode, around the sort of gender, the relationship of gender to this sort of nurturing top archetype, right? And we'll get to the subject of is this about incest or not?
There's definitely a yes and.
Right. Is this about incest or not? Yes.
And. I will also say that for me,
yeah,
I'm a daddy's girl. The first man in my life, my dad. I am such a daddy's girl. I was always just Mom, please don't tell dad. Please. Oh God. The certain level of respect, and also I'm a military brat.
Oh, interesting.
So keep in mind lots of leather, all of that, all the power dynamics, they come into play. And just even though it's a very backwards idea at the man being at the top of the household, it's still those seeds have kind of been planted.
Sure.
and I play on it.
Yeah. So it's like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely bring a lot of those dynamics and the things that probably this is going off tangent a little bit, but like some of the things that I wanted from my dad, I do my best to provide for those that consider and call me daddy. You know, like it's definitely going to be that nurturing, caring top situation, but I'm going to have a firm hand and I'm not going to let you get away with the bullshit. I am going to put you in your place in the most loving and sometimes the most painful way, but it's all love, you know, and I definitely feel and have immense respect for the mommies out there that do the same.
Shout out to the mommies.
Yo, shout out to the mommies. You know, like it's just, we're just in a different pool. We're all waiting.
Yeah.
We're all wading in the water, but we're just in slightly different pools or maybe different ends.
Yeah. It is so interesting how, as like, we're a couple of cis queer women, and this idea of daddy resonates with both of us, both as tops and bottoms, because we're also very, our like kinkiness is, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me like kinkiness is as important a part of your sexual identity as your queerness.
Oh, very much so.
Same for me. And it's interesting to think about how daddy is such an erotically charged word in a way that mommy might not be for us. Mm-hmm. But we're also both very engaged in feminist politics and an understanding and seeking to understand and unpack gender double standards, mm-hmm. and like not wanting to like denigrate the idea of the archetype of the mother or the leather mommy, but also like what turns you on.
Right.
Like you can try to interrogate like, well, does this not turn me on for fucked up reasons that I want to try to be more open to? And like, maybe I should play with mommies or maybe I should try this. But also like what turns you on.
Right. It very much does.
And sometimes it changes. Like you can like do things to try to change it or to try to like nudge things in different directions or just being open and flexible.
Right. And something like I also like do, I like turning that on its head, right? Like
right.
That's one of the pulls for me is being this like, it's funny, when I'm in full on Ashley is my daddy mode, I'm very much femme presenting.
Interesting.
But I love playing that on its head, bringing that femininity into my role, my natural born place as daddy.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all tied into it, that mind fuck. You know, like I love a good mind fuck.
Sure.
You know, so to be able to present as like high femme and do all of these things, but have that power as daddy.
Yeah.
You know, like it comes with a certain with it. You know, like daddy. Like I feel like my dick just landed on your forehead. And I don't even have a dick on me. Like that's what
I don't even have a forehead anymore.
It's mine now. But that's what I feel with daddy, you know, like even when you're out and about, you know, like you want to see a bunch of bottoms. Like I was listening to this little, I had seen this little GIF or whatever, and it was all these little different glasses of champagne, and it was like bottoms at brunch, and they're all like bitching and talking and da 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 da, and then this guy walks by and he's daddy, ooh, daddy, fuck me, daddy, bend me over, daddy. That has a very different ring to it than, ooh, mommy, bend me over, mommy, spank me, Bonnie. And like, don't get me wrong, I like them both. But for me, daddy just has a certain certain oomph to it.
So, you know, in our Interrobang episode, you were talking a lot about integration and wholeness, mm-hmm. not H-O-L-E-ness, although I'm sure you're into wholeness, too.
So much.
But W, wholeness. And it's interesting how literal correspondence of gender and titles can create an integration, and also figurative correspondence or non-literal correspondence can also create integration. And this is what I mean by that. Being a femme daddy as a cis woman can be an integrated thing. Mm-hmm. So can being a femme mommy. Mm-hmm. So can being a butch mommy.
Yes.
And so can being a butch daddy. Butch daddy would be the like Tom of Finland leather daddy archetype that probably a lot of people are familiar with, even if they're not a part of kinky queer leather cultures, right?
That's very much so my aesthetic oftentimes.
Right.
Like there's the femme and then there's the butch. And like being able to play with those.
Yeah.
You know, like it.
The ways that desire manifests and identification manifests, and that it does sometimes come from this like deep down, like resonant place that we can have an intellectual conversation about it, mm-hmm. but like ultimately it's a mystery. It's like shrug. Like I don't know why.
I mean, I also feel like going back to holism, right? Like, yeah. I feel like it's about balance. Like we're so surrounded by all of these different things that we're supposed to be. This is how a female is supposed to be. This is how a woman is supposed to be.
This is what a mom is supposed to be. This is what a dad is supposed to be.
Right.
Whether you are the parent or you have a parent or you don't have a parent and you're looking for a father figure or a mother figure.
Yep. All of that, it comes into play, you know? So to be a femme daddy or a butch daddy, because I go between the two, right? Like, it's really nice to be able to express masculine energies as a femme-presenting person, right? And being able to express feminine energies as an androgynous-presenting person.
Totally.
You know, and be able to play with all the different facets of my presentation, my energy, my personality, myself.
Yeah.
You know, and to bring balance to that, to not have to deny or close up or dismiss certain things that need to be expressed, that need to be enhanced, that need to be lived fully.
Let's not close up anything that wants to be expressed.
No. You got to breathe and relax. Mm. Just let it all open.
I'm going to have you record a meditation app for me. Daddy meditation.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Another place that sometimes there's a literal correspondence or a direct correspondence, and sometimes there's a dissonance in the relationship is when, for those of us who like to use words like mommy and daddy or boy or girl in the sense of being not only a gender identity but a submissive or a bottom identity, right? Like a lowercase boy or a lowercase B-O-I boy or a lowercase girl, right? In the sense of I'm daddy's girl, right? Like I'm a submissive to a daddy, or sir or ma'am or mistress or master, any of these things.
Right.
Sometimes, like what you were just describing, you feel like in your literal real history, your IRL, you know that you've been a daddy's girl to your actual literal father, and you know how it feels to seek approval, to be to have your whole life be the potential of approval from the man who contributed his like genetic material to your existence,
right?
And so that is so deeply or psychologically ingrained in you that it has come out in an expression of like, I want to be that to others because I know how it felt to be the girl on the side of that. And so I want to, in my adult consensual sexual life that has nothing to do with incest, that has nothing to do with abuse, I want to play with being the person who can bestow or withhold
that approval, that
praise,
love, that praise,
that protection,
everything, you know, even that intimacy, because it's a very different intimacy that you have with your father versus your mother, regardless of what type of relationship you have
or what gender you are.
Right. You know, so like it's as a fem daddy to men, women, and everything in between, right? Those dynamics come into play and they show up very differently.
And by the way, if you have two dads, or you have you were raised by a single dad, or you're raised in a group home, or you're an orphan, like,
or by two moms, or by a grandmother, or
100%, 100%. You were raised by wolves. Like, I don't fucking care, right? whatever your actual experience is, you have probably grown up in a society that has an idea of the archetype of the mother and father,
right?
Right. So this is even sort of a continuation of your experience that, you know, you had a father that you had a specific relationship with, but mm-hmm. you also have a relationship to the idea of like what a daddy is supposed to be,
right,
or what a father is supposed to be, and probably your dad lived up to that in some ways and didn't in other ways, because
right.
we're all human, right?
Very true. Very yeah. true. And you know, and one of the things also is like that nurturing aspect, you know, like
yeah.
I think it's funny the ways in which we kind of, I don't want to say project the things that we've wanted or have been craving onto others,
we
but
did.
I feel like it's necessary, right?
Yeah,
but
do.
Like as a daddy, right? Like I definitely like, I want more of that openness and that connection and that free flowing, like just give me your truth.
Yeah.
Give me your truth. Like there's no judgment or anything, right? And I often feel like the father, whether it's in my life or on TV or whatever, the father is the judge.
Right.
The father is always the judge, and the mom
is like the DA.
Right.
She's like the Marsha Clark.
Oh my God. Like, mom's going to go in and she's going to find everything, right? But dad is the judge. Like, you don't want to set off your father, you know? Like, it's shown in media outlets across the world, in books and everything, you know? So to be able to kind of flip that on its head, to also be the judge, but to also be that nurturing kind of, it's okay, I know you're filthy, you're a dirty little hole, but daddy wants it. Be
Aww.
That filthy little hole for me. And to be able to be praise and like enjoy and engage in that moment with all of those different mental things in mind, you know, the mind fuck of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and then be able to like hold you and take care of you and give you that aftercare and that love that oftentimes, how many of us just want to be hugged by our dad?
Sure.
Like legit, you know, like it plays into so many different facets of our being. So to be able to connect with that the way in which I do, and to be able to just be this kinky fem daddy, this leather daddy, daddy in general,
yeah.
like it feeds me in levels that I get to be that, but I also get to receive that
devotion,
yeah, that care. Like it's a two-way street.
Totally.
You know, sometimes it's a four-way street, sometimes it's a whole highway, and goddamn, there's a whole lot of streets on it. But you know,
sometimes
like,
it's an intersection or a roundabout.
It's a lot. But to be
sometimes
able to,
sometimes it's a parking garage.
You never know. If every day is a different day. But to be able to like receive that, to be able to get that, you know, it feeds certain parts of me. And
what's in it for daddy?
Yeah, because it's all about daddy, but it's totally not, but it totally is.
Well, I also, I mean, I think I can imagine that some people listening to this might have a skepticism around the idea of like the complications of a feminist sexuality that might worship this masculine archetype when we're trying to like unpack or shake off the influence that the patriarchy has on us, that patriarchal power has on us, or the sort of seeming dissonance of queer women wanting to bring a masculine archetype or masculine power or masculine energy into our sexuality. And I think it's such a good example of how, first of all, working through it sexually is a way that I've always recommended for undermining power mm-hmm. and deconstructing power and understanding how it works. And
I feel like it's very much linked to neuroplasticity.
Ooh.
You know, like you can kind of break the cycles of trauma by creating new pathways
yes.
of experience.
Yeah, and associations.
Know? Yes, and associations. Like to be able to, whether it's stuff related to daddy or trauma or kink or whatever, to be able to work through all of that in a very open, non-judgmental, even sexual way,
yeah,
you know, can be healing and cathartic on so many different levels. And you create new ways of understanding and kind of reflecting on past experiences
100%.
And creating new experiences and new ways of engaging with the world going forward.
Preach.
Yeah.
Hey, you said it. Exactly.
It's a thing.
Very, very, very well said. And also, this thing that you're talking about of connecting, of being a benevolent daddy and being a nurturing daddy and being like, I have this power to make you feel so good and so safe and so secure and so fulfilled. The idea of women playing with that to me is like, we're going to use this word because it has such a strong association mm-hmm. with all these abstractions. We're going to use the word to sort of anchor the our play with all of these things, and to, as you just articulated so well, to retrain or to carve new pathways or new grooves around not depending on our dads mm-hmm. or the patriarchy for that approval. That approval that we're pretty, that approval that we are successful,
that we're good enough,
that we're good enough, right? So for queers to play with that, actually, I think I would argue undermines the patriarchy, because it says like, this is not only yours to wield or mm-mm. play with. And by the way, you've been really fucking it up.
You've been doing it wrong.
You've been doing it. You've been just really making a big mess of it. So why don't we, just as usual, we're gonna take it.
Yep.
We're gonna take this toy. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take this word and reinvent it, reclaim it, reimagine it. Yep. And get off really hard and make each other really happy in the meantime.
Yes. Yes.
I don't need you.
At all. At all. And it's beautiful to be able to do that, especially as like going back to kinky queer, right? There are a lot of us that come from traditional families or, you know, religious backgrounds where your queerness may get you pretty much excommunicated from your family.
Totally.
Or dismissed or disregarded in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Excommunicated, or also just like an constant insidious sense that you don't belong and that you don't fit in and that people don't understand
Othered
you.
Othered constantly by your own family.
Exactly.
You know, like, and that can be, it's literally, it's soul depleting, you yeah. know, like it eats away at your mental health, at your mental wellness.
Well, totally. Whether, again, like, I just want to emphasize, like being excommunicated from your family is violence, and also like microaggressions and like being a second class citizen in your family because of being queer yep. is death by a thousand cuts.
It is. It is. You know, and it hurts so very badly. So to be able to connect with someone, or to be able to connect with an idea, it doesn't even have to be a person.
Yeah.
But to be able to connect with an idea and the ways in which our brains work, right? We're constantly categorizing, trying to figure out, how does this work? What is, not even how does this work? What is this? What bin of identification can we put this in?
Yeah.
Like, that's what your brain is constantly, it's what it was made for.
Totally.
Identification.
Yeah.
Categorization.
Yeah. What is this? Does. Is this dangerous?
Right. Is this or this that? What's this yeah. comparison? You know? Yeah. And we're constantly doing it in the most subtle and overt ways.
Yeah.
You know? And so to be able to kind of repaint that entire picture, repaint that, we can figure that entire process
yeah.
of categorization, to no longer have to, like, if we categorize something and it has a negative connotation to it, like, we try and avoid it.
Yeah.
We try and be like, nope, that's not for us. Let's shove this off. You know? And so to be able to kind of take our experiences and kind of remap them and reprocess them a way that actually helps to build you up rather than to take you down.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a queer person that has, like, not to say daddy issues, but daddy shit, family shit.
I mean, listen, like,
whether it's a daddy or a mommy, to take that experience and then
got,
to have
we've all got baggage.
Oh my God, don't we?
I'm looking for baggage that goes with mine.
Pretty much. Like, that is the constant process, you know, yeah. but to be able to really be able to connect with an idea that helps you to elevate past that it's life changing.
So when did you start identifying as a daddy?
Officially, a couple years ago.
Okay, cool.
But publicly, not until maybe like 2 or 3 years. So I've always been dominant.
Yeah.
I've always been hungry to play with my androgyny, to play with my presentation. And so cutting my hair like about 5 years ago,
cool.
right? Like, for those of you that don't know, if you are a female presenting individual, right? Honestly, this goes for everybody, but hair attached to femininity is a thing,
sure.
right? So there can be, we hold a lot of energy, a lot of trauma in our hair,
yeah.
right? So to be able to cut it off and start fresh,
yeah,
it was life changing.
Well, like, I'm like growing my hair out for the first time in like maybe more than 10 years. It's like
really?
Longer than that. And it's like, I'm like working on my Ariana Grande ponytail flip, which... Anyone who knows me knows. But also, it's like having a new girlfriend.
Right.
You know, because I'm just like, I'm not just like petting myself constantly and yeah. like receiving that. Anyway, so, but it also, it's also like having like a fetish instrument on me at all times in a
right.
way that like so many women that I've worked with, I've seen them like drag their hair along
yes.
People's
oh God,
bodies.
I love
and
that.
I'm like, well, worked with and otherwise, but like, I see the effect that it has on people, especially if they like haven't had that hair on them. Anyway, this is a total tangent, but
no,
but now that I have it, I'm like, but then also you're like fucking someone, it like gets in your face, you're like, God damn it.
But all these attachments that we have to hair.
So
we
many
have
attachments.
So many attachments
so
to
many.
Hair. You know, and as keep in mind, sex worker.
Yeah.
Right? That's having long hair was deemed necessary and ideal because
sure.
European beauty standards and fucking, you know, white supremacy and, 100%. You know, being a sex worker and men's desirability or so-called preference for long hair or
yeah.
the bullshit notion that, you know, you're not a real woman unless, you know, all of these different things,
yeah.
you know, that definitely played into it. So to be able to like cut all that off, like it
Let
was,
it go.
Oh my God, it was beautiful. And I had been craving it for so very long, right? I was craving so many different, so much access to different parts of myself that I was denying.
It's also a lot easier to wear a wig when you have hair short.
I don't
as
wear them. Nope.
You don't wear them?
I, like, in the beginning, because for work,
yeah.
right? Like, I still chose to wear wigs. And then at a certain point, I remember, and I kept getting more into my masculinity, you know, like more into my androgyny,
sure.
you know, and I had started to like dip my toe in that water with work. And I remember clients asking if I could wear a wig or whatever, because I remember asking, are you into this look or this look? And people asking for me to wear a wig. And I'm just like, nah, fuck that. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. You don't get that option. And to be able to be like, you know what? This is who I am. I am an androgynous motherfucker.
Yeah.
I do like my bald head. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
But I do love that shit,
yeah.
you know, and to be able to present as this person, you know, without having to be so wrapped up in my presentation as a femme individual helped me to really step into my identity and my queerness as far as, you know, being daddy and becoming the daddy that I was always meant to be. Yes. So to be able to really kind of like step into the daddy that I was meant to be, it was... I won't say it started with my hair, but that was kind of the catalyst for me to really just step into all of myself. And daddy was just right there waiting, just like, oh, you're ready now? Are you?
So how did it feel the first time that you, did somebody call you daddy? Did you tell someone to call you daddy?
So I had this session request from this client of mine that I had seen a couple of times. And he was effeminate. He was a little bit more effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet man.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to get into gender reversal. And that's something that I hadn't really played with
yeah.
up until that point. And this was like 5 or 6 years ago. Before I had cut my hair, we had kind of like played on it. It was like this session, he had come to see a massage therapist. And, you know, I kind of like took advantage of him.
Like
and,
you do.
Right. And he was wearing panties.
Shocking.
Pink panties,
I'm
right.
shocked.
And it turned into this like daddy, baby girl kind of like very light, very subtle. Then I had chopped my hair off
yeah.
and he booked me for another session and we went full blown.
Yeah.
Like I had gotten him some titties. Like I have prosthetic tits that I fucking love.
Love.
Like cross-dressing, gender reversal, like all of those things. Like we really got to get into all of it and then get into the names and get into the dynamics of it, you know? And he called me daddy. And
you were like, ding, ding,
I've
ding.
Never felt my lips quiver so hard in my
Ooh.
Life. Like it was just like, that's for me. That's mine. You know, and this, the whole scene, oh, it just kept getting sexier and sexier. The more he said, yes, sir, daddy, please, daddy, no, I'm not a good girl, daddy. Like, it just kept, like, I was just like, oh, God, this is so good. Yes, scream it from the rafters. I'm your fucking daddy. From that moment on, it was over with.
So then how did it become? Okay, so it started at work. But
it
then
started before work, but it kind of like blossomed with that session and cutting my hair and then kind of integrating it. So I've been like kind of processing this idea of how to present this to the world, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember doing this photo shoot. I have a leather obsession. I have a leather fetish. I love leather. I have always loved leather. Give me all of the leather. Drape me in it. Drown me in it. Fuck me with it.
Well, like, you're in the right line of work.
Right. Like, I just, I love leather. But
it loves you back.
It does.
It told me.
It does. Oop, I snorted. But
it's on tape. Can't take it back.
Damn it. But
you love leather so much it makes you into a pig.
Yes, yes, pretty much. So I remember I did this photo shoot and I was in all leather, right? I had just had a fresh cut. I had just left my barber and I wanted to do this like this badass, very, very daddy androgynous shoot. And I was in a leather jacket, leather pants, and pretty much that was it, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to bring forth the masculine sides of me,
yeah,
right? And in a photo shoot, it's always so very like tailored for the female, I mean, for the male gaze.
Right, right.
And this was very much for my own. It was like I was letting my dick out, you know? And it felt so good.
On the foreheads, across the foreheads of the world.
Slap, 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 slap. You know, like it was beautiful, you know? So that photo shoot, it really kind of like boosted my confidence to kind of step into this role even more, you know? And I still use those pictures. I love those pictures. But that kind of made it this like really official. Now I had proof. Like it wasn't just in scene, right?
Mm.
Like it's one thing, not to say that like doing something in a scene or in a session is intangible, but it's very different when you have visual proof that the rest of the world can see, oh, this is what you are. Because when you put forth an image or you put forth any kind of work, like it was a very vulnerable space for me to kind of step into that in this photo shoot. But once you put something out as an artist, you know this, you cannot control the way the world perceives it.
No, and you shouldn't try to.
No, but that was a very vulnerable place.
Cool.
You know, and so
that
like,
makes, that's where good art comes from.
Yeah. And it like, it was just like, okay, now it's time, you know, and it just, it continued to change everything and everything is still in this process of evolution that I'm grateful for. But definitely it forced me to be more vulnerable, more transparent in my creativity, in my art, in my kink, in my queerness, in my daddiness, you know?
So your daddy side, see, this is the thing that's so ironic and interesting that you're, all of these qualities that we associate with daddy also feels more vulnerable because it feels closer to something true about you.
Mm-hmm. Funny how that works.
So sometimes daddy play or mommy play or boy play or girl play is about these, what we might call leather archetypes and all the associations that we have with all of these things. And so for you, how often does it have to do with really explicit incest play, by which I mean consensual non-consent, by which I obviously mean people who are not blood relations,
right,
playing with the archetype of blood relations, the role play, the fantasy of blood relations, and everything that, every taboo that may be associated with that. How often is there an element of incest fantasy in daddy play for you?
Kink is very much and always will be a part of me. I don't need anything outside of it. It's just a part of who I am.
Yeah.
Just like being a daddy, right? It doesn't require any scene, any article of clothing or anything. It is just very much a part of who I am and a mentality that I own and push in a lot of what I do. In scene, when it is the scenario where it's this kind of incest play, honestly, it's not that often.
Yeah.
But when it happens, it's
supercharged.
It's electric in a completely different way.
Yeah.
You know, I crave more incest play. mainly because I'm a pervert.
Sure.
You know, but
This is the right place.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah. I remember, I'm going to tangent for a second. Troy Orleans.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. Troy Orleans had this event that they had gone to, and it was kind of like this family dinner, and it was going to be her and her partner and like a couple of other people, a couple other kinky folks. And like, she was the aunt, he was, I think, an uncle, and then another friend was her niece. And there was like, it was just this whole range, and it was a dinner party that turned into a play party. And she had told me about this experience.
So it was like playing, it was very involved playing house.
It was like
for
a
adults.
Family reunion. In the most perverse way.
But then family reunion orgy.
Yeah. And it was just like, I need more incest play. Like, I clearly am lacking this in my life.
Well, we are going to, we're going to make that happen.
Please.
Well, thank you for going into all of that, that shadow side stuff with us here today. And I wish that we had a million more hours to talk about Daddy, but somebody else needs the studio. So, Mistress Ashley
no.
Page.
No.
Oh, no.
Ashley
oh.
Page.
Oh, okay.
No. Don't call me mistress unless you're paying me.
I have paid you nothing. In fact, you're going to buy me lunch.
Role reversal.
Ashley.
Yes, Tina.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio and talking about daddies and also doing an Interrobang episode.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Anything coming up that you want to plug, you want people to know about in 2019?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to do a quick little rundown.
Yeah, please.
I have The Hoedown that's going to be launching in March. It's a podcast that I'm doing with my girl, Kyanna Moore. We'll be launching that in March, and you can check for details on my social media. I am actually going to be doing a huge, which I have been procrastinating on, a huge launch for Clips for a Sale. I want clips. A lot of my content, I am shooting a bunch, so I'm pretty much orchestrating a whole porn release, and I will drop details and everything on that soon. I have a big scene that I did, two big scenes from the folks behind Divine Bitches that's coming out. I shot it in Avian. I'm so excited. Oh, and lots of training. So I'm actually going to be going to a Tantra certification.
Cool.
And integrating more of that into my work as well. I have a bunch of other projects. I'm getting painted by Audrey Ryan this week and have a bunch of travel coming up. I will be updating all of my sites and everything. So I know that we're short on time. You can see all the things that I'm doing on there. And I will be launching a video blog soon. So you guys can keep up with all my antics.
And where can people find you on the internet?
So you can find me on Twitter at Ashley Page NYC. That's Ashley, P-A-I-G-E, NYC.
And is it spell Ashley too?
A-S-H-L-E-Y, P-A-I-G-E, NYC on Twitter. Or you can find me on Instagram, MistressPage_NYC. That's MistressPage underscore NYC. You can also find me on my websites, MistressPageNYC, just like it's spelled everywhere else. AshleyPageNYC, just like it's spelled everywhere else, .com. And I will be launching my XXX site, AshleyPageXXX.com, where you can purchase all of my filthy clips and content and photos, and that'll be launched in the next month or so. So find me, look me up, Google me. You can see me everywhere.
In every which way. But you got to call her daddy first.
Yes, and you got to pay.
Beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.